Welcome. You are about to hear an inspirational message from the Williams Pulpit. God has richly blessed Williams Boulevard Baptist Church with some of his choice servants. Listen prayerfully now as our interim pastor, Dr. Mark Tolbert, brings us the message from God's Word.
Would you be finding Romans chapter 1? Romans chapter 1. This morning, I want to talk to you about this subject, the people who give thanks. The people who give thanks. Undoubtedly, Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. Like you, I have such fond memories of Thanksgivings in days gone by. When I was a little boy growing up in Georgia, we would always go over to my Aunt Floy's house. I don't know why it was, but we would have Christmas dinner at Aunt Floy's, and we would have Christmas Eve dinner at Aunt Juanita's, which was my mother. And just all of the traditions, Grandma would bring pumpkin pie, that was okay, mincemeat pie, yuck, and pecan pie, amen. I don't know about you, I believe we're going to have pecan pie in heaven. You might have milk and honey, I'm having pecan pie and biscuits and gravy, that's what I'm having in heaven. And so we would have our meal, and then on Thanksgiving afternoon, my father and I would separate from the family and we'd drive to downtown Atlanta because the University of Georgia freshmen and the Georgia Tech freshmen would play a college game on Thanksgiving Day at Grant Field there in downtown Atlanta. Just a freshman football game. Ordinarily, a freshman football game would get everybody's mama and maybe a few aunts and uncles to come. But on that day, there'd be 50,000 people, and it was to benefit Crippled Children's Hospital. So just great, great memories. There are also memories as an adult when the children move away. And during holidays, you know, sometimes you have to learn to share. When your children grow up and get married, have you yet discovered you have to learn to share? I tell people, when your children are little, you teach them to share. When they grow up and get married, they teach you to share. Joy and I have had Thanksgiving at Cracker Barrel by ourselves. And so Thanksgiving is not always that Norman Rockwell, Currier and Ives fantasy picture. But as much as I love Thanksgiving, you know what I wish we could do? I know this will never happen. But rather than having one day a year where we give thanks, wouldn't it be great if we just gave thanks all the other days of the year and just griped one day of the year? Wouldn't that be better? You know, instead of having one day you give thanks, why not complain one day and just give thanks all the rest of the year? You know, as we approach this Thanksgiving season, I think a good question for us to ask ourselves and to reflect on is, am I humbly grateful or am I grumbly hateful? But Thanksgiving is a great day. It's a great holiday. It's a great season. But Thanksgiving actually is a character trait. In fact, Thanksgiving is a birthmark. I don't know if you have any birthmarks. I've got a couple of birthmarks. Normally, we try to obscure birthmarks by hiding them with clothing or makeup or whatever. But as a Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, there are certain things that ought to mark you as a child of God. And one of the things that ought to be a spiritual birthmark upon our lives, for those of us that profess to be followers of Jesus, is the giving of thanks. In fact, I want to just show that to you this morning. So if you have Romans chapter 1, I want you to look at verses 18 through 21, and let's look at the people that give thanks. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 18. The Bible says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them. For God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse." And then it says, verse 21, "For even though they knew God," or maybe literally, even though they knew about God, even though they knew that there was a God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks. Now watch. "But they became futile in their speculation, and their foolish heart was darkened." Now look at that last verse just one more time, verse 21. It's talking about those people that don't know God. For even though they knew about God, they knew there was a God. Now watch. They did not honor him as God or give thanks. Do you see that? It's talking about people that don't know God. Now they know there is a God. In fact, I'm going to tell you, this verse proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that everyone knows that there is a God. I mean, they know there's a God just by virtue of creation, by just looking around at what we see. They know there's a God. One of my favorite stories is about the atheists that just were avowed atheists. They were determined that they were atheists. And their little girl came to the breakfast table and she said to her parents, "Mama, Daddy, do you think God knows we don't believe in him?" That'd ruin an atheist's whole day right there, wouldn't it? People know there's a God. They know there's a God. But when they reject God, in fact, what they say is, "No God for me." In fact, did you know the Bible says, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, literally, what it says in that passage in Psalms, the fool says in his heart, no God. And he's not saying there is no God. He's saying no God, like no God for me. It's sort of like we might be in a couple of weeks at our Thanksgiving meal, you know, after we've had turkey and dressing and cranberry sauce and green bean casserole, and we've had all that big meal, and we've had 2 pieces of pie, and they're going to serve the pie again, and we say, no pie. Now, what we're saying is, no pie for me. I don't think so. We're not denying the existence of the pie. We're saying no to the pie. And that's what the fool does. He says, no God for me. I do not want him. And so, as we look at this passage, I think it would behoove us to examine ourselves, to sort of check up on ourselves and say, do I have a spiritual birthmark? Am I marked by this character quality of giving thanks? Because this scripture says, those that deny God, those that refuse God, those that shun God, their life is not marked by certain qualities. So let's look, let's examine ourselves. Now, we're not going to be spiritual inspectors of one another, but let's examine ourselves to see, do we have these indicators that we really do know God? So who are the people then that give thanks? Who are they? Who are the people that choose to give thanks? I want you to notice several things about them, and let's just see if these apply to you and me. First of all, when you know God, you will give thanks. When you really know God in a personal way, when you experience God, when you're in tune with the God of the Bible, I'm not talking about the God of your imagination. You know, some people say, well, you know, to me, God is this way. Well, maybe to you, that's the God you've created. But I'm talking about the God who is, the God who has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus and in the Word of God, the God of true creation and existence and the timeless God. When you really know this God, you will give thanks. Now, there are some people that give thanks that don't necessarily know God. I mean, we stay at a certain brand of motel when we travel. We stayed at that brand of motel in Atlanta this week. By the way, people that love to travel haven't done a whole lot of it. I've stayed in that brand of motel 102 nights this year. It's a good motel, but I'd much rather stay in my own bed. Amen. But the people at this particular brand of motel are well-trained and will sometimes ask for something that we need, and they'll say, my pleasure. Grateful to do that for you. Thank you for staying with us. So just because somebody says thank you does not necessarily mean that they're born again, does not necessarily mean that they know God. But what I'm saying is, but if you do know God, if you really understand and have experienced the God who has revealed himself, you will give thanks to him. Why is that? Well, notice what the Bible tells us in the New Testament, in the book of James. James tells us, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. And you just trace anything in your life back to its source, it ultimately came from God. I mean, it did. Now, you might thank the person who serves you, or you might thank the person who does something kind for you. And if you're sick, you might thank the doctor that takes care of you. I remember several years ago, my wife had surgery. We thought she had a form of cancer. We thought she had thyroid cancer. And the doctor operated on her and came in the next day. And he said, I've done 53 of these surgeries, 53, just like your surgery. And yours is the first one that I've ever done that was not a form of cancer. And I said, thank you, Jesus. Now, I said, thank you, Dr. So-and-so, for what you've done. But I understood that God guided his hands and God answered our prayers and God met our need. And so everything that comes to your life, if you trace it all the way back to its ultimate source, every good gift, the Bible says, and every perfect thing ultimately comes down from above. Look at what the Apostle Paul teaches us. In 1 Corinthians, we just finished studying 1 Corinthians. Remember what we looked at in chapter 4? Paul asked us the question, and what do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? We give thanks when we eat our meals, not just at Thanksgiving. We give thanks. We pray and give thanks for the food whenever we pray. And by the way, when you pray with your family, today, when you have lunch today, let me just challenge you. Thank God for two things around that table. Thank God for the food that you're about to eat, and thank God for the fellowship around the table. Amen. Do you understand there's a lot of people in the world that have neither of those blessings of God? In fact, I guess we're just old school enough. We hold hands and pray when we have the blessing. Now, I tell people the reason we hold hands when we pray is so nobody can start eating until the blessing is over, okay? You know, I thank my wife for working hard in that kitchen, or we'll tell the waitress at the restaurant how much we enjoyed our meal. But we know ultimately that came from God. Amen. And by the way, don't wimp out if you're in a restaurant. You pray and give thanks to God for your meal. All right. And so if you know God, you're going to give thanks. If you know him, then you're going to know things about him. And you're going to acknowledge these truths that everything we have came from God. And you're going to be a person that chooses to give thanks. It doesn't just say you feel thankful. It says you give thanks. And so, first of all, when you know God, you'll give thanks. Look at the second thing. When you give thanks, you honor God. You honor him. You are acknowledging him. This passage here in Romans says about those that don't know God. Verse 21 again says, even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. And so when we give thanks, we're giving honor to God. We are honoring the Lord. Did you know that the Bible says we are to give honor to whom honor is due? Romans 13:7. We are to give honor to whom honor is due. I think it's good on Mother's Day to honor our mothers. Amen? I've always had a problem. Sometimes you'll open the Sunday school quarterly on Mother's Day and there's a lesson about hell on Mother's Day. No, we need to honor our mothers on Mother's Day. And on Father's Day, we ought to honor our fathers. And this week is Veterans Week. And although I did not serve in the military, I want to say we owe a great debt of gratitude to those that have served our military. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? Amen? And so the Bible tells us that we're to do that. We're to give honor to whom honor is due. But did you know ultimately, at the end of time, do you know who is actually worthy of all true honor and praise? Listen to what's going to happen someday when we get to glory. John the Revelator described it to us in Revelation chapter 4. Here's what's going to happen. He said, we're going to say, worthy are you, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and were created. Hey, listen, that's what you're going to be doing someday when you get to heaven. You're going to be gathered around the throne and you're going to be saying, worthy is the Lamb. We ought to just start going ahead and tuning up for that day of praise right now. And by the way, that's one thing you need to do in worship. In worship, we're saying, Lord, you're worthy. Your amazing grace that we've sung about this morning, that our chains have been broken. We're acknowledging God. We're worshiping God. This is not some concert. This is adoration. And so, you know, by the way, if you don't really enjoy worship, you may not like heaven very much, okay? Because we're going to be praising God throughout eternity. But when you know God, you will want to honor him as God. You'll give thanks because you're honoring God as the source, even of the skills maybe that God has given you, of the talents, of the abilities, of the strength, of the knowledge, maybe of the academic training, whatever your skill set is. You're acknowledging that that came from God. Do you know what pride is? I'm going to tell you what pride is. Pride is taking credit under false pretenses. Pride is claiming credit for something really you have no reason to claim credit for. We can be so proud, and yet everything you have, you've received, and every ability God has given you came from Him. And all God would have to do is just take His hand off of you just for one iota of a second, and you would evaporate. And so when we're humbly grateful, when we dismiss pride in our lives, we're not taking credit. Here's what thanksgiving is. Thanksgiving is giving God proper credit and honor for what He has allowed us to accomplish. Isn't that right? And if somebody thanks you or praises you, maybe for something you've done for them, go ahead and give them the blessing of thanking you. But you take that rose, I think we mentioned this a few weeks ago, you take that rose and gratefully, humbly accept it, but you make sure later on, pretty quickly, you lay those roses at the feet of Jesus. You lay those roses at Jesus' feet. So thanksgiving is honoring God. When you give thanks, you're honoring God. You're giving God the honor, God the glory, God the credit, which He alone deserves. But and then here's one last thing. When you give thanks, you're being somewhat like God. Now, listen carefully. Now, don't hear me say something that I'm not saying. When you give thanks, you are like God. Now, listen. That doesn't mean you are God-like, but you're godly. It doesn't mean you're a little God. You know, you're some sort of a little God. Did you know that there is a certain cult, a religious cult, in our culture, in our nation? They send people going around door to door. They ride bicycles, and they wear white shirts and name tags. Usually a couple of really young men named Elder something another. And that cult believes that if they work really hard and live right and do everything right, someday they'll become a god. That's what that cult believes. Listen, I'm not saying that you're going to be a god. I'm not saying you're going to be God-like in terms of being, you know, little Lord Ha-Ha. But I mean, you're going to be godly. You're going to be a reflection of what God is like. You are not God-like. You're not deity. You're not divine. Don't get confused. But it means you are godly. You are reflecting what God is like. You remember back in the book of Genesis where the Godhead said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Now, what did that mean? Well, that doesn't mean that, you know, God created us to look physically like Him, you know, to create us in His image. That doesn't mean that God is, you know, 5 or 6 feet tall, or doesn't mean God has blonde or brown hair. It doesn't mean that. It means we're to reflect what God is like. To be created in God's image, it's like a mirror reflects an image, okay? Like this morning when you looked into the mirror. I don't know why you look into the mirror in the morning. I look into the mirror in the morning just to see how much damage has taken place overnight, right? You know, you look into that mirror and you think, oh me. And so, you know, you go to work, try to correct a little bit of the damage that has occurred overnight. Some of you might have forgotten to have done that, by the way, as I look at you this morning. But the mirror is to reflect our image, all right? And so did you know that we're to reflect God's image? We're created in God's likeness. So we're to reflect God's image. For example, God says, thou shalt not lie. Do you know why God says, thou shalt not lie? Because God is not a liar. God says, thou shalt not steal. Do you know why God tells us not to steal? Because God is not a thief. And so when God says we are to give, do you understand that that's because God is a giving God? And so when we give thanks, we're doing what God does. Listen, God gives all good gifts. Every good gift comes from God. Every good gift. We've already looked at that. James said, every good gift, every perfect thing comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variance or shadow of turning. God gives good gifts. God's never given us a gift with a receipt in case we wanted to take it back. God gives perfect gifts, gives us just exactly what we need. God gives good gifts, and God gives to everybody. God gives to all. The Bible says the rain falls on the just and the unjust. It's what theologians call common grace. God gives grace to all of His creation. Common grace. He sends the sunshine to everybody, gives life and breath to everyone. The rain falls on the just and the unjust. So God is a gracious God. God doesn't just give because we are so wonderful and so deserving. No, God gives to us when we do not even deserve to receive gifts from Him. So God gives good gifts. God gives to everyone. But ultimately, God gave us His best. What does John 3:16 say? I'm going to put it on the screen. Let's just read it together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that a wonderful description of who God is? But do you understand the basic thing that God is revealing to us about Himself? For God so loved the world that He did what? Say it. That He gave. God is a giving God. And I just want to tell you, when I give, I'm reflecting what God is like. If I give thanks, if I give time, if I give money, if I give my tithe, if I give praise to Him in a worship service, if I give Him my attention in listening to Him during a time of prayer and communion, if I give Him my obedience when I read His Word, whenever I give, I'm like God. I'm never more like God than when I give, and I'm never more like Satan than when I refuse to give. You know what Jesus said about the enemy in John chapter 10? Jesus called him a thief. Jesus said, the thief comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. He said, but I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. You know, you can miss Thanksgiving in a couple of ways. One way is you can miss Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving doesn't always come the same day every year. I mean, it's the fourth Thursday in November, but it's not always the same date on the calendar. This year, it's November the 26th. I think that's right. If that's not right, just go ahead and celebrate it more than once, okay? But you can miss Thanksgiving because you didn't get that date right on the calendar. But that's not the way most people miss Thanksgiving. Most people miss Thanksgiving because their focus is on the food and football and hunting or even just upon that day on the calendar, but they don't understand. Listen, it is the giving of thanks. And I want you to grasp this. It is not that you are just to feel thankful. The Bible does not say feel thankful. The Bible says give thanks. And I've discovered in my own life that when I choose to give thanks to God, I usually end up feeling thankful. And so a birthmark of a child of God is the giving of thanks, the giving of ourselves, the giving of our resources. We're in a time of year of giving thanks, but I would just want to challenge you to examine your own heart, examine those spiritual indicators in your life. And to ask yourself, am I a giver or am I a taker? And God wants to bless you to make you a blessing. God wants your life to be a channel of blessing. God doesn't want to bless us just so we can hoard and become stuffed and gluttonous. God wants to bless us to make us a blessing in the lives of other people. And one of the marks of a child of God is the giving of thanks. When you know God, you'll give thanks. When you give thanks, you'll honor God. And when you give thanks, you're reflecting what God is like and what He's done in your life. Are you not grateful for all the things God has done for you? For all the things that God has done for you? We've got a dear friend named Bernard Albright. Bernard and Suzanne Albright. I haven't talked to Bernard in over probably almost 20 years. Bernard is a young man that I shared the gospel with 20 years ago. And he discovered yesterday he has a very advanced form of cancer. He has esophageal cancer. It's spread to his liver. But he is praising God for the fact that he knows what's going to happen to him. One way or the other, he knows what's going to happen to him. He knows how this is going to end. And it's going to end happy. I'm trying to get a hold of Bernard. But I've gotten the report. He's praising God for what God has done. You know, so often we think about what we don't have instead of being thankful for what we do have. We're so self-focused, we think about what we'd like to have, what we could have had, what we should have had, rather than for what we've had. When Joy and I were living in Little Rock, Arkansas, several years ago, our children were teenagers at the time, and they had some friends at school whose father suddenly died of a heart attack like that. He was 39 years old. He went to Kroger to get some groceries for his wife, and they found him in the parking lot dead of a heart attack, 39 years old. And Joy and I, although we didn't know the family, the children were friends with our children. So we went to the funeral home to visit. And we went through the line and the wife was there and she knew I was a pastor. And she said, "Brother Talbert, you're a pastor, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am." And she said, "May I share something with you that someone shared with me a little while ago?" I said, "Of course." She said, "Well, my husband and I were married for 19 years. And she said, we have two beautiful teenage daughters. And she said, you know, someone came by and said, what if the Lord had said, I've got something for you. I've got a mate picked out for you. And he's going to be the man of your dreams. And he's going to be everything you could ever have imagined. And you're going to have a great life with him. And you're going to have two beautiful daughters that are just going to be the joy of your life. But you only get to have him 19 years. Now, that's the deal. Great spouse, two great children, but you only get him for 19 years. Deal or no deal? She said, I would have said, oh yeah, I want that. She said, my problem is I wanted to have 40 years or 50 years or 60 years. She said, but I just want you to know, I am so grateful for what God gave me. Amen? If I understand anything about gratitude, folks, that's gratitude. That's acknowledging that what we've received from God, and that we're grateful. We don't even deserve that. And if God didn't do one more thing in my life today, if he quit blessing me today, I'd have to spend all of eternity thanking him for what he'd already done for me. I want that. I want that to flow out of my life. I don't want to be grumbly hateful. I don't want to thank God one day and complain all the others. I want my life to be marked by the giving of thanks. The Bible says those people, although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God. They didn't give thanks, and their foolish hearts were darkened. I pray that the light of the grace of Jesus Christ would so shine in and through us that our life would be marked as people who give thanks. May God help us to do it. Let's pray together.
Thanks for listening to The Message, brought to you by Williams Boulevard Baptist Church. Please feel free to download a copy of today's or other sermons. We're located at 3000 Williams Boulevard in Kenner, just off I-10, next to Louisiana State Police Troop B. Sunday morning worship starts at 10:30. Wednesday prayer service is at 6:45 p.m. We would love to see you there. For more information, call us at 504-443-2363. Come join a church with a true heart for Jesus, Williams Boulevard Baptist Church.